26 is what I want to read tonight. Matthew 6:26. Amen. The gospel according to Matthew. Now remember this, that you'll find many times written in your Bible, it'll say Saint Matthew. And a lot of people say, turn to Saint Matthew. Let me just give you a little tip here. Amen. I don't call Matthew Saint Matthew. I don't call John Saint John. I don't say Saint Luke, and I don't say Saint Peter. Because when you say Saint Peter, the Catholic Church years ago took and they voted these people that when they make them a saint, that means you could pray to them. Well, I want to tell you, I'm not praying to Peter. I'm not praying to Matthew. Amen. They were saints of God, just like you and I are saints of God. And I don't pray to Saint Zach over here. Amen. And I sure don't pray to St. Brian over here, but I pray to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Woo. Amen. So Matthew, the 16th chapter, the gospel according to Matthew. And verse 26, the scripture says, Matthew 16 and verse 26. Am I in the right scripture? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Am I in the right scripture? No. Verse 26, that's 16. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Now this verse highlights the value of the soul over any worldly success, any worldly possession, any worldly achievement. What will a man give? And when connected to the concept of repentance, it emphasizes an urgency and an importance of turning away from sin and being willing to say, these things are not worth it. Amen. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Tonight, I want to talk to you about the soul exchange. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? My, amen. I'm thankful tonight. Amen. A made-up mind will get you on the other side. Hallelujah. Amen. When you follow the power of the Lord God Almighty, amen. What will a man give? Amen. Fame and all the ambitions, all the different things of this world will not do it. But when somebody just says yes to God and let God be God of their life, what a difference God makes. Amen. Would you put your Bible down tonight and lift your hands and thank God for the blood and thank God for his mercy again. Amen. Lift your voice tonight, saint of God. What will you give? What will you give? You may be seated. Today we have what we call influencers. There's people that get on social media because they want a crowd to be their audience. They want people to look at them and go, wow, by them. Folks, when people look at you and I, they don't need to see you. They need to see you pointing to Jesus Christ. The last thing on earth they need is me influencing, but they need the power of the Holy Ghost influence them. Amen. Oh, friend, my influence will bring you misery. I will fail you, and I will have faults in my life. But I've got a God who will never fail you. A God in him, there's no fault at all. What a mighty God we have tonight. And you look at this. The scripture says, what will a man give in exchange for himself, for his soul? What happens if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Think with me, repentance is that exchange. When you repent of your sin, something is responding to the realization of your soul's worth. By turning away from the pursuit of worldly things and turning towards God, a person acknowledges nothing more important than their relationship with God and the salvation of their soul. What is more important than that, friend? There's nothing more important. Amen. Eternal consequences was in the question that Jesus was asking. He said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Is the gaining the whole world? Is it worth losing your soul over? Then he said, what will a man give in exchange for that? I want to just say this, the importance of turning to God Almighty still, amen, the most absolute thing there. Repentance is still essential. Amen. Hallelujah. And in order to avoid the loss of your soul, you got to turn to God. It allows a person to turn from the fleeting things of this world towards the eternal riches. I'm telling you, the eternal riches are still eternal. Amen. It's more than streets of gold. It's more than walls of jasper. But it's eternal life with Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. So failing to repent puts your soul at the risk of forfeit of eternal life. Nothing can buy back a lost soul. Jesus said, what shall a man give in return for his soul? What will you give? It implies that once a soul is lost due to unrepentance or spiritual neglect, nothing in this world could be offered to buy it back. Well, that reminds me of Esau, don't it? The highlight of Hebrews, the 12th chapter, it talks about Esau. He sought for repentance. He had sorrow for what he did. What did Esau do? He traded his birthright for a bowl of lentil, a bowl of beans. And he was sorrowful and he regretted with tears what he did. He was aggravated. He punched the wall. He stomped his feet. He was upset. But the Bible says he could not repent. Let me just tell you, folks, what was happening here. Amen. He tried to buy back and he tried every way to bring it back to that point. But the thing about it, he was sorrowful. He regretted. He had great remorse. But he simply wouldn't give himself over. And in repentance, we can't be like Esau who had a big talk but no big walk. And this refers to after he sold that birthright and it emphasized the regret over his decision. But the problem is, he would not turn to God. He would not give over. He gave the situation. God, I made a big mistake. God said, I'll take your mistake when I have you in the offering. God gave, Jesus Christ gave himself on Calvary. And he's looking for you to give yourself at the altar. He'll meet you at the altar, even when you give yourself over. What a difference it makes when somebody lets God be God in their life. Hallelujah. Lip service don't work. Life service does. There must be an exchange. Look at your neighbor and said, there must be an exchange. Everybody wants something for nothing today, don't they? Everybody expects something for nothing. They want freedom. They want liberty. They want the blessings of God. They want all the different things of God. But if there's no exchange and no giving of yourself, you don't get the things of God. Repentance is crucial by the means of a person turning from sin. You want the forgiveness of God, you've got to give yourself. Amen. More than giving your sin, you've got to give yourself over. God has an offer that the devil can't offer. It's called eternal life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hey, the devil can't make that offer to you. His offering is nothing but doom and disarray and destruction. But my God has come that you may have life and it more abundantly. You just can't bypass repentance. You know, repentance is making an exodus. You want a new beginning? You want a Genesis? You got to make an exodus, an exodus. And repentance is like marrying. In marriage, you leave and you cleave. And in repentance, you got to leave and you got to cleave to God. You got to leave your old self and your sin and cleave to God. It's a covenant, just like a twofold thing here. You give and God takes. You do your part, God does his part. You come out, God will help you enter in. If you don't come out, you make a breach to that covenant. God don't have to receive you. We know that baptism is essential. You got to be buried with Christ in the name of Jesus Christ. We believe that because the Word of God says it. I had people say, well, I believe. I don't care what you believe. I want to know what the Word of God says. The Word says you got to be baptized for the remission of sin in the name of Jesus Christ. But if you're not gave up and if you're not dead, you can have no victory over our remission of sins. Baptism is meaningless if there's no repentance, no exchange. I'll let you get on tongues now. Tongues is not going to save you if there's not a surrendered heart. I had people possessed with devils speaking in tongues, but they weren't talking in holy tongues. I love it when somebody finally dies out, and when the tongues come, they start praying in the unknown language. Amen. There is a big surrender. And because of that big surrender, their heart and soul, there's a big victory that comes from heaven. Amen. Oh, the Holy Ghost is still powerful, but it still takes repentance. Repentance is the key to your victory. And repentance is the key to your salvation. For a new man to live, an old man has to die. That old man, you. You got to want to change. You got to favor what God favors. And the reign of authority must be given over to God. You got to dethrone self. You know, even the angels of heaven need governing. Ever heard somebody say, oh, she's like an angel? And you think somebody is, woo, all good. Amen. There's some angels, they're going to be thrown into everlasting lake of fire. Because they were the ones that did not want the governing of God. Oh, amen. I want the governing of God in my life. I want the wholeness of God in my life. I want the authority of God in my life. And we need that authority in God. The Bible says, blessed is a man that endureth temptation. When he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that, anybody knows it? Love him. Would you put James 1:12 up there, sister? I want the church to see that. Amen. God is looking for somebody to make an exchange. God has great and terrific promises for those that will endure and those that will stay in the fight and those that will say, God, it's not my will. Blessed, everybody said blessed, is a man that endures temptation. You're going to have temptation, but you better learn to endure. For when he is tried, he shall receive. This little crown right here is a flimsy, faded china crown. This little crown will not fit everybody's head. And the crown of life will not fit the head of those that's not surrendered to God. But God died, and he has customized a crown for you. Amen. Are you thankful there's a crown for those that will make that exchange? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Woo, I want a crown of life, an eternal crown. Amen. Would you lift your hands right now to Jesus Christ and thank him for that crown that he has promised? Amen. That crown of life that he has for your soul. Amen. Lord, I thank you for the power of your Spirit. Thank you for the glory of the Holy Ghost today, Jesus. Crown of life. Hallelujah. Brother Neil and Sister Lauren and Brent, I mean newlyweds. I need these newlyweds to come up here. They went in a service this morning. We talked about the power of a hug. And we talked about you could tell a real hug from a fake hug. Sister Lauren, you're going to, right now, amen, it's amazing. But you could tell when there's a quick hug and somebody's upset and they're doing it just to do it. But a real genuine hug, you feel it. It ain't going to be just a one pat, hurry up and get through, pat you on the back, that you can hurry up and get loose. You ain't hugging grandma, you're hugging honey. How beautiful it is when you in the arms of the one that has chosen you. Brother Neil, how beautiful it is when she's in your arms. But I want you to understand, we cannot let anything get in between us and God. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, Brother Neil, you look important. Come stand over here now. This man works for FedEx. He delivers, not pizzas, but he delivers things. So you're used to a load, right? Kinda, okay. Kinda. He carries loads. He delivers loads. Now, well, I got a lot of briefcases. And, you know, we get so busy with all the things of life and accomplishments. I mean, wow, look. Something, another accomplishment. Here it is right here. Here's something else. Pretty soon, man, we got all this stuff. I mean, we start stuffing our lives with stuff. Yeah, you can. It's amazing what you can do with the Walmart bags, huh? Kroger bags. Yeah, yeah, look here. Isn't that amazing? The FedEx man could carry a lot. But in life, you could load yourself down with the cares of this life. But you really, really can't give your wife a good hug. Don't you try to come hug him? Not me. He got his arms full. Still, you can't give her a genuine hug. You give her, see there? You know the reason why? He's loaded down. And many times we're loaded down in life with the cares of this world, the things of this world, the heaviness. And life from this point is easy as a young couple. Because you're just starting out, you don't have that much. I don't know how many carloads you got from Vicksburg and what you had here when you moved into the apartment. I imagine he didn't have very much. I imagine he had a few pair of mismatched socks. He was a young man. I mean, all your stuff probably fit in maybe a suitcase and a half. Nope. Now, compared to all the shoes you got now. They decluttered yesterday. What a miracle. But I want you to know, life, as you start growing pretty soon, life gets so busy. Life gets so, I mean, things start happening. The importance of life. Here he is. He feels his call in the ministry. And even the ministry, you could do a lot of church work without doing the work of the church. I'd be so busy doing church work that I quit praying. I don't study. I don't get to love on my wife, my children. I mean, they're somewhere in the mix of life. I come home weary and worn out, and God has been the last of the list. Oh, I'll feed my face, but I hadn't fed my soul. Y'all get where I'm going to? And you think, as a saint of God, even though much more with those that are called in the ministry, the luggage and the baggage of life, and the duties of life, all these different things begin to weigh you down. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, amen, constantly. Throw me a cell phone. Give me a cell phone real quick. Amen. Even something small, a little bitty weight like this right here. Brother, I mean, where are you going to put this at? I mean, and it's going to ring. Things going to demand on you constantly and pull on you and demand your attention over and over. It don't stop there. Pretty soon in the house, there's a... You know what I mean? And I mean, she's changed dirty diapers and she's been there all day long, and it's time for him to come home, but he is so busy. I mean, it's a rough deal too, but where's God in the midst of this mix? Sometimes, you mean, God can't get that proper hug from us and that proper love from us. And we get so busy, even as a Christian, as a saint of God, that we lose that emphasis. And try to hug him again. Try to hug her again. It's hard, isn't it? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? There's a lot of people. Now let's get to the business of life. There's a lot of people, Brother Neil, that start off okay. But gradually, they start attaining. And they forget about the eternal crown. They forget about what God has laid up for those that trust him. God has laid it. Sit on top of that speaker up there, bro. God has laid up a crown for those that will endure in this world. Brother Neil, there comes a time and a place that we got to learn to let go of some things. Some things that we toted around all our life, pride and ambition, things that we've always held to. I wonder what's the most important or less important in this group of things here. I mean, maybe this briefcase right here, bro. Let go of it. And we lay this on the altar. We feel a little bit more liberty when we do that. It's kind of like the doctor told me. He said, Brother Crossway, he said, have you ever carried a big sack of concrete on your shoulders? And I said, Dr. Satir, I have. He said, do you know when you lose 50 pounds? He said, it's like taking a sack of concrete off of you. And he said, the difference between laying aside a sack of concrete and losing 50 pounds of fat, he said, is this. So when you go to bed at night, just because you're laying on a mattress, you still have that 50 pounds pulling on you and pulling at your heart. I want to say, when we start laying aside some things, life gets a little bit lighter. You're able to hug a little bit more with emphasis now because there's a little lighter load. Yeah. And we like to watch your hug. Isn't that amazing? But in life, the Lord keeps working on you, brother. There's some weights. God says, what about this one? No, God, there's important things. I wonder what's so important in your bag of life. Man, there's important things here. Oh, yeah, you got your key. Brother, where? It's clean. Yeah, turn around, Elvis. Can you do your thumbs like this? Yeah, we got our idols, don't we? We got our ambitions. But until we lay these things down, amen, begin to separate and begin to divorce some things that are holding us back from getting a closer walk with God, they'll still rule and still being alive in our life. All right, Brother Ashton, you come help me with this one. This one on, Bo. You got to slide it on. Like a hospital gown. Here we go. You didn't know what was in that bag, huh? I didn't either. You got it? What would a man give? There's some people don't want to give. No, 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 no. You know, I didn't realize that was going to cost my idol. Look how good looking old Elvis is. He sings so good. Oh, I can't give up this. I'm making all this money. You know, man, and I really like it because it makes me feel good. I have all this. I feel like, man, I'm really successful in life. Oh, really? And there's some other things that may be in this bag. And y'all, I promise you, this is impromptu if I ever believed it. Olivia, you can come up here. Yeah. She's laughing at her brother. We're going to get her. You ready? Olivia, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to get Red up here. Hurry up, Red. You owe me one, huh? Here we go. Here's old Red. Turn around, Red. They got those things in the bag of life, Brother Neil. That's always your baby that's always crying, wanting your attention. We're not talking about a physical baby. We're not talking about a baby born to you, but a baby that you've been nourishing and taking care of. It could be pride. It could be something you really think you are. Have you ever seen somebody felt that way? And it's hard to leave these things at an altar. It's hard to say, okay, God, here it is. Amen. Oh, friend, I'm telling you, all these different things, amen, all become things to us that weight us down. Chains. And you think, oh, these are pretty things. These are great things. But, brother, they've been weights on you. You've been carrying around all these different things and you didn't know it. They've been hindering you from really getting what you need from the Almighty God. The Lord said, okay, can you give this? But I got some important things in here too. I wonder what's in here. Don't try. Because it's full of stuff. And finally, God says, come on. Give over this. And we lay all these things on the altar. Who's sitting on this altar? Over here. You see? Who's sitting on the altar? And it comes down to one little thing. He said, but no, I can't really do it, God, because it's so important. This has always been something important, a treasure to me. That placement of being something and being somebody special. I've had this. But when she goes to hug you now, hold it between you and her when you hug. I mean, you hug, but there's still something between you. How many times when we come to God, there's still things between us that we're holding to? Oh, that's important. That's vital. That's valuable. You know, the Lord told the rich young ruler. He was rich, he was young, and he was a ruler. He said, in order to follow me, you got to lay down everything. Take up your cross. Sell out. Somebody say, sell out. Take up your cross. But you can never take up the cross and sell out till you first deny yourself. Finally, Brother Neil, lay it on the altar. Start learning. Even if there's nothing in between you, now you could hug. Not only that, but you could hold her in your arms. I love it when the Lord holds us close. Amen. I feel the closeness of the Lord right now in this place. Amen. Don't you love feeling the glory of God? Amen. But I want you to think about it, Brother Neil. Amen. There's nothing like the feeling of God. But why is it sometimes after finally giving everything to God, we go back and start trying to get some things back in our life? Go pick something back up. We start thinking that we're spiritual again. And we could handle some things that we once laid down in an altar. My Lord Jesus. Amen. Remember, you got a crown waiting for you if you learn to overcome. Amen. I'm talking to somebody's soul tonight. Amen. You never become spiritual enough to pick up some things that you laid down before God. Can I say it again? You're never a spiritual person enough. If God has told you to lay something down, when you go pick it up, you are a transgressor of what God has delivered you from. Don't go back and don't pick up what's been on the altar. Brother KT, you would testify. I visited with him for years. Brother KT, the biggest problem you've had as a saint that's come back to God and been raised in the church is when you come to the altar, the condemnation that haunts you. Whenever you come to church, you feel like I'm unworthy. I can't worship God because I went back and picked up some things that I laid down. It's hard to loose yourself from that charge. Even when the enemy's constantly telling you, how can you worship? Look what you did. Look what you got. But there are some that thinks they're spiritual enough. I speak in tongues. God uses me. I'm anointed and appointed. But if you went back and you're picking stuff up that God convicted you of, my, I don't know who I'm talking to tonight, but somebody, amen, needs to hear what the Spirit is saying. Amen. You don't need to go back. Amen. When you do, amen, you're not going to get a load. Amen. But you're going to get a load that you will not be able to care for. A load that you will not be able to tend to. Amen. Because you can't carry the load of the world and the load of God. You can't hug now. Amen. You try to hug that girl now. You got a big weight right here. You really can't get a hold of her because now there's a big weight. The Bible says when an unclean spirit is gone out of a house and is swept in garment, that spirit goes and gets seven others. Brother Will, come on. Brother Zach, come on. Brother Brian Pirtle, come on. Brother Riley, come on. Brother Jeff, come on. How many is that? Brother Charlie, come on. How many is that now? Do I need one more? Don't count me. Come on, Brother Corbett. All right, Brother Zach, get over here. Y'all get over here. I love the Holy Ghost, don't you? I love the holy victory that God has. That on that final day, that laid up crown that you have reached for, that you have endured for, God says, I have that crown. Hand it to us, brother. On that great and beautiful day, Brother Neil, the Lord said, here it is. Here's that crown that you've strove, fought for, and endured for. It's for you. I'm thankful today that God has laid up a promise for us. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Oh, what is worth it tonight? There's nothing in the world worth it. Amen. Even though this man had all these things, all these titles, and all this importance, all these weights, it's not worth it. Because Elvis and the babies of your life, the money of your life, and the importance of the titles of position can never replace eternity. I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus right now. The privilege of reaching out. You got to get a hold of your bride now. Amen. When we get together in purpose with God and we hold Him close and we feel His glory, I'm telling you, there was nothing like it, brother. On that day that, amen, you were legally able to hold your wife's hand and look her in the eye and kiss her on the cheek and hold her close to you, amen, overhead. You didn't want an audience whenever y'all were headed out of that wedding that day. I told him that me and his pastor was going to ride in the back seat, and Sister Lauren said, no, you're not. We don't need anything in our vehicle, anything in our back seat. Amen. We don't need any important thing else in our relationship with God. Amen. It belongs for us in the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I want to be like Joshua. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Somebody ought to give the Lord a hand of praise tonight. Hallelujah. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. Brother Thomas, you get to go first. Stand up, buddy. Pull that mask off and put it back in there. Are you thankful that you get to lay it all back down? You're next, buddy. You're next. You get to take off all those things, and you get to be who God has made you to be. I'm thankful for the beauty of the Holy Ghost tonight. Stand with us. Amen. I feel Jesus so close right now. The encouragement of His grace and mercy. Hallelujah. Would you reach up to Him right now? There's a crown for you, saint. Amen. Be encouraged tonight. This world is not your home. Hallelujah. This world is not your home. Amen. We're just a passing through. Amen. Hey, there's some treasures. There's some things laid up for us. Amen. There's some beauty laid up for us. Hallelujah. What's in between you and God? What's standing between you? What excuse that you have that always gets between you and your faithfulness to God? Will my children, your children shouldn't get between you and God. Your grown children, God should be before. Your children shouldn't cause you to compromise. Well, my neighbor, neither do your neighbor. Young person, young lady, young man, neither should your best friend. When you're Coley's age, Coley, I pick on you because you're right here. Your age, Coley, there's going to be a lot of influence. Peer pressure, we call it. Because that's your friends. And your friends can squeeze you to do things that you never really wanted to do. Even go against the things of God and get in between you and God. It's amazing how just a little bit of influence of peers very quickly could come in and cause you to do things that you never dreamed. Step over boundaries that you never thought you would ever step over. But when you commit it to God, how great it is when you learn to say, God, I can't let anybody or anything get in between me and you. I got a crown I'm reaching for. What will you give in exchange for your soul? Sing it, Sister Crossway. Would you come and lift your hands around the front just for a few moments? Only Jesus will satisfy your soul. Only He could change your life.
Only He can change your heart
and make you whole. Nothing will take God's place in your life. Only Jesus can do that.
He'll give you peace you never knew.
Reach to Jesus. Let Him remind you. There's something in your life that's a weight. If there's something distracting and disturbing your relationship, then be willing to lay it down. Be willing to give it over to God. God, I'm willing to give it over to you tonight. Only He
can change your heart and make you whole.
He wants to make you whole tonight. Hallelujah.
He'll give you peace you never knew. Sweet love and joy and heaven too.
Do His work right now in your life. Come on, you've been in a battle between things and objects and spirits.
Jesus,
some things are beginning between you and God. Come on, can you give it to God tonight?
Your heart and make you whole.
Come on, only He can make you whole. Only He can make you complete.
He will give you
never knew.
Thank you, Lord. Love and joy.
The Holy Ghost is moving right now. Come on, the Holy Ghost is here right now. In the name of the Lord, receive. Come on, let the Spirit of God. Come on. Oh, somebody need to turn it over to God. Come on, the worth of the exchange tonight for your soul. Come on, it's worth it, somebody, to give over to God. I lay that down. I give that over to you, Jesus. I give it to you, Jesus.
And only He can change your heart. He wants to make you whole. He'll give you peace you never knew. Sacrifice is less. to see his face. When he claims us for his own. For a million years we'll sing amazing grace. It will be worth
you just love the Lord. If you know this old song, sing it.
Just to see his face when he claims us for
his own.
For a million years we'll sing amazing grace.
It'll be worth it all when we get home. It'll be worth it all just to see his face
when he claims us all
his own.
Sing amazing grace.
It'll be worth it all
when we
get home. You lift your hands and close your eyes and sing it. It'll be worth it all
just to see his face.
Just to see his face
when he claims us.
When he claims us for his own.
For a million years.
For a million years.
We'll sing amazing grace.
It'll be worth it all when we get home. Again, I feel the Lord ministering. It'll be worth it all just to see his face
when he claims us for
his own.
For
a million years we'll sing amazing grace. It'll be worth it all when we
just crossway.
I feel one more time to sing it. Somebody just let the Holy Ghost minister now.
It will be worth it all
just to see his face
when he claims us for
his own.
For a million years
we'll sing amazing grace. It'll be worth it all
when
you love the Lord with us again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're thankful for the blood of Jesus tonight. The goodness of the Lord. Amen. Remember the great soul exchange. It takes you giving yourself to the Lord. Amen. We love the Lord. We're thankful for the grace of God. Earl and Natalie, we're so thankful God has things for your life, things for your home, your children. Amen. We're glad you came, Earl. Amen. Praise God. Glad what God's doing for you. Amen. Remember Tuesday night. Amen. Prayer meeting also. Remember Thursday night, midweek. And we're blessed. If you'd like to give in any manner for the fair, this year Tyson has said that they're not donating. And normally we get things from Tyson. And so this year they won't be donating. But the lady did say, call me a week before. And she said, if there's anything on the truck, she said, I'll see what I could do. And so we're going to trust the Lord to help us. But if you could help in small things, you don't have to have big things, just the small things will be a blessing. And then in October, the first Wednesday of October, that first Wednesday, we're going to be making boudin here at the church, cutting up a sausage, making roux, making gumbo, whatever else. And our senior saints, those of you that would like to help, man, we got a table for you. We'll feed you that day. Anybody else wants to come and join us, you're welcome to come. Through the last several years, I appreciate our precious sisters and brothers that has come up here and helped us chop celery, onions. I mean, they've really worked hard, and I want to say thank you. And you could help us this year. It would be a great deal. God bless you. Let's go to heaven, how? God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.